Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. My guest is Frank Hotchkiss, former city councilman, former mayoral candidate, and former Santa Barbarian, calling in from Savannah, Georgia. Thanks for joining me, Frank.
Hey, Mark, thanks. Listen, isn't it your anniversary, your 20th anniversary or something like that?
You know, I think it is. I think it's the 20th year of Radio Real Estate, started November 15th, 1998. And you should have been my first guest.
Yeah, right.
You know, okay, I think, weren't you on once? I think I might have made a mistake and had you on when you were running for something.
Don't know. Honestly, I don't remember. Call it a senior moment.
So before we get into what happened since you left and some of the politics of Santa Barbara, I don't want to miss out on mentioning that in addition to being kind of a renaissance man, a real estate agent for many years, you wrote a book. What is the book?
I've actually written three books, one of which is in print now, but it's called Playing with Fire. It's a passionate story about a guy, an advertising executive in New York who... happily married, pretty successful, makes the mistake of falling wildly in love with a much younger woman. And he knows it's a stupid thing. He's not going to do it. He's not going to get involved. They'll just be friends. And that's when he finds out that he's playing with fire. But the real point of the book was to examine passionate love as opposed to something more enduring that takes years and years and years to build, typically between a husband and a wife. And, because I had friends that frankly made the mistake of being blinded by something young and fresh, and then I think later coming to regret it. And I wanted to illustrate that, but it also talks, I don't need to say more than that, but it's gotten just fabulous reviews. It's on Amazon. If you type in Hotchkiss playing with fire, you'll go right to the book. And a lot of people there read it and actually going into another edition already.
You know, when you said type in Hotchkiss playing with fire, I thought of another way to make fun of your name and could get you into a really bad website, but I won't mention that on the air. So
good.
Frank has written three books. Playing with Fire is in print.
Right.
So that's good. So we've been talking about Santa Barbara. Some changes have occurred. You wrote in a letter to the editor about Columbus Day. What was that about?
I had heard that Kathy and Oscar, I guess it was, were going to bring up something about abjuring Columbus Day and in preference to Indigenous Peoples Day. I, interestingly, had just come back from Portugal, where viewing the history there, particularly with Brazil, the momentous effects that Columbus's discovery of the New World had on the rest of the world at large were so apparent. So I was, shocked when I read that the council might consider that. And I wanted to try to put it in correct perspective of how significant what Columbus did was.
I think it might be Sacramento, and a lot of people in Santa Barbara spoke to the city council asking them if they wanted to do something. What are you doing, Frank? You sound like you're doing surgery or something.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I had some milk, and it's going to my chest.
Don't have a heart attack on the air here.
Yeah,
people came and were fine in supporting Indigenous Day in Santa Barbara. And in October, but they wanted the Santa Barbara City Council to mirror, I think, what was done in Sacramento, was to have a separate day and not try to suppress or supplant Columbus Day. But the Santa Barbara City Council did not listen, and so now it's on the same day.
Right. I think they sort of, split the baby, right, and then kind of did both.
So it's... I don't know. I mean, what happened to the American Indian is so atrocious, you can't even begin to talk about it. And certainly, we'd want to do whatever we'd want to do to honor them and to remind people who they are and what they contributed. And so there's no doubt that deserves and warrants support, but I don't know about the idea of just basically taking away Columbus Day and kind of putting it all on his back.
I think history, you know, is still the dust, in a sense, hasn't settled. One thing, to pair it as such a, I want to say a clash, but a meeting of wildly different cultures, one very advanced technologically, the other actually not at all, but had its own merits, and one was going to be and was completely overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's just so horrific. But you look back on humanity, you know, the Middle Ages and the things that were done and the torture and the, you know, man has a very ugly history. And frankly, we think we're all past that. But the political environment that we're in now is just where people are promoting confrontation. And we see, you know, the shootings and, the Republicans were shot at a baseball field and the synagogue and then all this, you know, the mass shootings. It's just, you know, I don't know what the answer is and how to solve it, but it was certainly overwhelmed with that. Frank Hodgkin.
Well, if I could, I would take a slightly different slant on not saying man has its terrible history. I said it actually has a fabulous history, but marked with some egregious moments, whether it's the Spanish Inquisition or whatever. So I'm trying to look at it as a positive because I think it is ultimately positive.
Right, and I'm not saying that we should look at all these atrocities that were committed by man and fall on the sword. Overall, you know, definitely the progress that has been made and where we are today. I mean, hell, Jews were slaves in Egypt 5,000 years ago. We had slaves in this country just almost like yesterday. So, yeah, right. I mean, I would say I was just trying to illustrate that, you know, we want to, you know, certainly want to acknowledge Indigenous Day and the American Indian, but I just don't think you have to supplant something else, you know, on the same back.
Right.
On the same, I think it's the straw that broke the camel's back with this Indigenous Day, Columbus Day. And speaking of plastic straws, I wonder if that expression came from plastic straws that broke the camel's back.
Well, it wasn't a plastic straw, it was any straw. But speaking of plastic straws, I think that was a silly thing to pass, but it's not going to have a huge effect unless you're trying to drink one of those really thick milkshakes that you get at In and Out or Habit or even McDonald's. You're not going to have any luck with anything but any other kind of straw, so just use a spoon.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm the biggest recyclable guy you can imagine and certainly don't want to see anything going into the oceans, but I heard a lot about it, and it seems like in California, well, anyway, you know what? I don't even want to get into that debate. Who cares?
Okay.
It's passed. My guest, Frank Hodgkiss, former city councilman, former mayoral candidate, former Santa Barbarian, and an author of three books, one in print called Playing with Fire. And it sounds like, you know, the grass is not always greener would be the subtitle name, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that book is available also at Chaucer's, by the way.
Oh, that's nice to know. A little local.
Yep.
So when are you going to come in and do another book signing?
Oh, gosh. I don't think so. I've got a lot on my plate here. This Savannah's a very interesting city. It's about twice as big as Santa Barbara, but it's much more of a traditional city in the sense that it's built on a grid. And it goes back actually earlier than Santa Barbara. Hard to believe, but it played a key role in both the Revolutionary War when it was taken over by the British and defended by the British at great cost of American and French lives in a
Frank, you faded there for a second. You were trying to recollect the date on the Revolutionary War where the British took over Savannah?
Well, when they defended it.
They
were in place here. And then in the Civil War, it was equally important.
Wait a second. When you say defended it, they were defending the British position and fighting Americans and French?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And then in the Civil War, first South Carolina, then later Georgia and others seceded. And because the Savannah River is a major river, as is the Charleston River, actually, that's the reason militarily both of those cities have been important in history. And in fact, Savannah has a huge fort that defended the mouth of the river that was supposed to make it impregnable. And then the federal troops figured out that with rifled cannon they could blow the fort apart. And in 12 hours, the guys that were holding the fort said, "Hey, that's it. We're out of here." So it made a big difference in the Civil War.
And so the ones trying to protect the mouth were the South.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And then when Sherman came through in his famous march through Georgia in 1864, I guess it was 65. After he leveled Atlanta, he headed for Savannah, and the Savannah saw him coming and said, "Wait a minute." And they went out with a white flag and said, "Where would you like to stay?" And so he was well received, and the city was not destroyed.
So Savannah, Georgia. It sounds like you should write a history book.
Really, really interesting place. And that river that I mentioned makes Savannah, I don't know if this is accurate, the fourth largest port in the United States. We get vessels of 100,000 tons 25 times a week up and down that river.
I had no idea.
I didn't either. But you can be sitting downtown in this wonderful old historic section having lunch and look up, and this monster ship is almost silently passing you by as it slices right through the middle of the city.
Well, listen, you're going on and on about how great Savannah is, and not that Santa Barbara isn't. And I was about to say goodbye to you. We just have almost no time left, but someone called in and asked the obvious question, which I neglected to ask, and I don't know how quickly you can answer it because we're really out of time, but why did you move?
Well, I felt that I'd sort of accomplished my mission in Santa Barbara, and I was fortunate in making a major sale on a house that allowed me to find a great place here, set up a trust fund for my daughter and grandson, and live happily on some pretty good investments.
And what did it cost to buy something in Savannah, Georgia?
About a quarter of what it would cost there.
So you can buy a nice $2 million house for $500,000 or a $1 million house for $250,000. Great
exactly.
Question. Thank the caller. Or was that you, Richard? No, that was a caller. No, just kidding. Frank Hotchkiss, great catching up. Let's talk once a year.
Mark, thanks an awful lot. My best to everybody there.
Okay, and we'll see. I'm just not a reader, but if I could read, I would... maybe I should just buy your book, Playing with Fire, so I could support your endeavors in Savannah.
Got it. Love it. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. I forgot to mention, this is actually the 20-year anniversary of Radio Real Estate. November 15th, 1998, the journey began. And, it feels like it was only 1,053 weeks ago.